They could only have a Sorek, more specifically, Ishei Tanakh, and we'll get to both. There's an unbelievable machlokas, which we'll get to in a momentarily. But picture the scene. Avraham Avinu gets the commandment, Lech Lecha, Me'aretzecha, 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 it's a Sharek. He goes up to Israel, he gets to the land of Israel. And when he gets to Israel, what does he find there? Anyone know? Vayihira of Ba'aretz, there's a famine. There's no food. Everyone's starving. And what is Avram's first initial response? What does he do? He leaves and goes to Egypt. Tell me, guys, is that a good thing or a bad thing? Should he have gone? Should he have stayed? What should he have done? In your own personal thoughts, what do you think? If I would have just told you that one story, what would you have said?
Smart move.
Let's get a hand on something. Yeah, what do you got, Dave?
You can't stay
because you have to take care of yourself. You have to go out and make sure you have enough food. You would have said?
God tells you to go somewhere, you stay there.
So that machlokas between Dani and Jake is the machlokas Rashi and the Ramban. Rashi says, look at, this is one of the 10 tests Avram passed. He was successful. Rashi says that he did the right thing by leaving. It was difficult, there was no food. He's supposed to take care of himself. What do you expect from a person? If anything, Avram passed the test even more because he still remained from. You know what Avram could have said to, I'm sorry. Do you know what Avram could have said to Hashem when he got there and there was no food? What are you, crazy God? Maybe it's not even God. I hear some voices in my head. They say to go to some land. I finally make it to Israel and there is no food. It's a lifestyle that I'm not ready for. That can't be done. And yet still Avraham remained from, still Avraham remained committed, still Avraham remained one of the Gedolim, the Ishei Tanakh, a tremendous tzaddik, and therefore says Rashi, he was successful in his endeavors, he passed the test. The Ramban disagrees, the Ramban writes, Avraham, the Lashon is, Chet Chata Avraham, Chet Chata Gedol, Avraham Gedol, Mishkag, or something like that. Avraham did a great big sin accidentally. It was b'shogeg, it was not intentional. Avraham was not malicious or evil, chas v'shalom. We're talking about one of the most important, people in our Jewish tradition, saying a real emes tzaddik. But still, nonetheless, a sin, a mistake. Says the Ramban, Avraham did not have enough bitachon in Hashem. Didn't have enough money. When Hashem says, go to Israel, Hashem will take care of you. And says the Ramban even further, you think Avraham had enough bitachon? I'll show you further he didn't have enough bitachon at this point in time. Again, the Ramban knows he was a tzaddik gomer. But still, even tzaddik can make mistakes. B'shogeg. After all, he put his wife in a box. If he really would have had enough bitachon in Hashem, you know what he would have done? Have trusted that Hashem would not allow his wife to be killed, to die, etc., etc. This is the first machlokas Rashi and Ramban. I'm going to make... I'm going to take two or three questions, make a point, and take the rest. We'll take just this side room quickly. One, two, three. I'm going to take your questions in 2 minutes if I make it one more point. But yeah, go one. You.
But when you have a sugar in the box, like, you're always supposed to put in your own effort. Like, if I'm sick, should I go to
hold off on that thought? Great question. Hold on. Yeah.
It's the same idea. It's like the story.
Hold on. Good. 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 Yeah.
Good.
You guys also?
Same
good. Seemingly, this machlokas may revolve around one of two points. Point number one is the balance or trade-off needed between bitachon versus hishtadlus. Hishtadlus on one hand, making the efforts, doing everything you can, going out of your way on one hand. And number two is having faith in Hashem, having bitachon and belief in Hashem. Now the truth is, I went to the great line from Rabbi Norman Lamb, who was the former Nasi of YU, one of the Rosh Yeshiva, who said, one should have enough bitachon in Hashem that if they did nothing, they would have full faith. And also, one should have full hishtadlus as if Hashem either doesn't exist or wasn't going to help him at all. Meaning, as long as one can do both, one should.
How can you do both?
One, in most cases in life, you should do a full hishtadlus as well as a full bitachon. This particular situation, whether Avraham should leave Israel, go out to Mitzrayim, or remain in Israel, didn't afford him the opportunity to do both. A full hishtadlus would mean leave. Full bitachot would mean to stay. For example, I try my best to make I work as hard as I possibly can to bring food home for my wife and kids. I do my full hishtadlus. I also have bitachon, full bitachon. I don't find them at odds. They're not in conflict with each other. Very often, and even 90-95, most of the times in life, they're not in conflict. There's no tension. You can work your hardest and also believe in God that Hashem is going to help you. You should work your hardest and believe Hashem is going to help you. Very often, those two work harmoniously with each other. They work in synthesis. There's no contradiction between, on one hand, me having to work, and on the other hand, relying on God. However, the question is when there's conflict, when there's tension, when one has to give, which one does one give? At which one should, which one, and again, depends on the time, depends on the situation, depends on many factors, but one may be. This machlokas, Rashi and the Ramban, as to how much hishtadlus one should have, how much bitachon one should have, how much of an effort should one make, how much should one rely, sit back and rely on Hashem. Hashem said, go to Israel. And again, it may not be all situations, but it could just be when Hashem said, go to Israel. And maybe all situations, I'm not sure. But the Ramban may have a higher level of bitachon than Rashi, and Rashi may have more of a focus on hishtadlus. After all, there's a slight support to this. There's a major machlokus, the Rambam versus the Ramban, regarding whether or not, how a doctor should perceive himself. When you're sick, what should you do? Says the Rambam, you should go to a doctor. If you're sick, go to a doctor. He'll help you to get healthy. Says the Ramban, Nachmanides, and parenthetically, both the Rambam and the Ramban were both doctors, so it wasn't just like a sales pitch for himself. Would have been anyway, but then with the Ramban are both doctors. The Ramban says, no, when you're sick, you should daven. When you're sick, you should have amuna. When you're sick, you should talk to God. Now, it happens to be that nowadays, because of a chisaron and dargis, we're no longer bali medregas like we used to be. And if we only have bitachon and only daven and only have amuna, there's a good chance that we won't have enough. And that's a very serious thing. And if you don't have full amunah, there's a good chance Hashem won't answer you. And therefore, says the Ramban, you should go to the doctor. But there's a major, the upshot is, there's a major machlokas as whether or not doctors are lechatchil or bedieved. According to the Rambam, lechatchil, go to a doctor. Take care of yourself. Of course, the medicine comes from God, but the doctor is Hashem shliach. The doctor is what enables you to get better. Of course, it's indirectly through Hashem. Who taught the doctor the medicine? Who's curing you through the doctor? Who's working indirectly through the doctor? Hashem. But nonetheless, says the Rambam, go to a doctor, l'chadchila. The Ramban believes, no, l'chadchila. In the ideal world, a perfect tzaddik, perfect pitachon, and perfect emunah would stay behind and daven and have emunah and be okay. However, in the world we live in, one needs to, what's it called? One needs to do something. But again, before I take your question, I'll do it in a second, Shimi. Before I take your question, seemingly again, you find that the Ramban has a very high standard of bitachon and needed. Avram didn't have enough over there. Doctors are not the right thing. The Ramban in general may go lishitaso in the amount of bitachon one needs. A super high level of bitachon and amunah. While Rashi and the Rambam maybe err more towards the side of the shtablis. They lean more towards the other side of this equation. And that may be this machlokes about hashkafically machlokes about hashkafa, machlokes about Jewish ideology, Jewish thought. How much should one have bitachon versus shtabs when they come in conflict? Maybe machlokes Rashi Ramban, probably machlokes Rambam and Ramban. And Ramban was the shitav so beautiful. However, before I take your question, I'll do it in 2 seconds. The machlokes may depend upon something else, which is not per se shtabs and bitachon, but rather what? Avraham Avinu specifically. How much room is there to critique potentially Avram and say he did something wrong? According to Rashi, very little. Avram did nothing wrong. Everything was right. According to the Ramban, no one's saying he's a Rasha, Chas v'Shalom. No one's saying he's even a man like you and I. We're not using him through our own perspective. We're using him through a Frum Torah perspective. However, he's not angelic. He's not perfect. So the Gemara says four men never sinned. Avram was not one of those men. And therefore, and it's not because he, was lazy, just didn't want to put on tefillin, or would rather, be Machal Shabbos and keep Shabbos. That's not the Hever we're talking about. We're talking about the Hever where Hashkafically he had The right intention just was led the wrong way or thought the wrong thing or made a mistake. But nonetheless, it opens up a box to figure out how much room or hashkafically how should we view the avos. Almost perfect, like potentially Rashi, we're more subject towards being normal. Again, not like you and I, but closer, like the Ramban. And we'll see in a, we'll see a few other examples of how this may manifest itself. Questions? One, two, oh, sorry, I should get Shimmy first. Shimmy first, Aaron two, you three, go. Yeah, you have to get three.
The Ramban says that a person is, he's supposed to daven, a person with true emunah will not need a doctor in order to heal himself, right? So then the Gemara says that one thing that Hizkiyahu did was he hid the book that had every single medicine in it to get people to daven harder. So why would there originally be such a book if they were at such a level where all they had to do was daven and they would have been healed? Why did they need a book with every medicine in it?
Twofold. Number one, if not Shachim should be taken literally. I don't know. Meaning a lot of Gemara, the Rambam writes, and we'll talk about this sometime, the Rambam writes that there are three types of people out there. One person takes everything literally, believes stupid things. One person takes everything literally and says, hey, that's stupid. It cuts out Torah. That's also bad. The third thing is to know what some things can be taken literally, some are metaphorical, and then I'm not sure that Gemara could say it's to be taken literally. So right away, I'm not sure. But even if there is, it could be. There is a book because not every, even if, I mean, your question is, why would the book exist if people should have more emunah? And the answer,
they were originally on such a low emunah that the reason why he hit it
could even be
was to get the book harder.
It could be that the fact that he had to hide the book meant they were not on a perfect level either. Right? I mean, they were somewhere in between. They were on a good level, not a perfect level. It could be some people, different people. It could be that, you know, that such a book would exist only for generations where people get sick. You went there where people have lower levels, I'm saying. But to be honest with you, there's a good chance I'm not even thinking more literally. Yeah, too, Aaron, what's up?
What happened just two generations after this, the whole famous story with Yaakov and Jacob and Esau, doesn't that bear like a lot of weight in this argument? Like how would the Ramban respond to everything that he does to prep with giving Esau the gifts and then only praying at the very end? Like that was the very end of all that.
That's a great example. For starters, that's Rashi, but there's a good chance Ramban would say that's fantastic. Yaakov should do both because they don't come in conflict there. There's nothing wrong with doing hishtavos, giving gifts, and sending, you know, and preparing for war, as long as you're not replacing that. Here, Avram was caught in a crossroad because, on one hand, hishtavos would mean leave, while bitachon would mean stay. Those contradict. There's nothing wrong with doing both. The question is when you can't do both, which do you choose?
So when he says, Daven is the first response to getting sick. It's not to the exclusion of going to a doctor.
It's only to the exclusion. In other words, if that alone would do it, that'd be fine. Uh-huh. That's like a third category.
I see.
Yeah.
Could it be that this whole topic is, like we discussed before, that you have to decide for yourself and pick which one is the most moral?
Interesting thought. I may say that a little bit later on, but I have yet to find any freshman to say that we choose that inside. Meaning, how much should one do it? I'm going to ask you all about that thought. It's a very good thought. I don't need to minimize it, you know, at any level. It's an excellent thought. Hold on. There are other situations where you find Chachmei HaMasorah being more and less critical. For example, people are familiar with a very famous Medrash that says that Yitzchak's two children, Yaakov and Esav, grew up and they looked the exact same as each other until the age of?
30.
In which they started deviating and going on their own paths, and it could be Hashem made them look the same way because of Nas Avim shouldn't see Esav becoming bad. Rav Shalom Shifal Hirsch there takes that medrash with a different spin, not the standard spin, but rather he says that this is a critique of Yitzhak being a father. Yitzhak was not a great parent, a good parent, but not a great parent. He had good intentions, tried his best. However, if you're not mechanech each nar al pi darko, if you don't educationally raise each child the way they should be raised, if you raise two children the same way, when it's inappropriate for one of them, of course it's going to rebel. You can't raise two Yaakovs unless you have two Yaakovs. You have one Yaakov and one Esav, and you raise them both as Yaakovs, that's not going to be good for Esav. And since Rav Shalom Shifal Hirsch, a father should never raise two children the same way, especially two children are so diametrically opposite from each other. One, and not just because one is hairy and red and one is not. They had different personalities, they had different styles, characteristics, they have different ways of life, they have different values, they have different purposes, directions in life. How could you raise two kids with different directions as blinding yourself to that? Says Rav Shamsha father, yeah, Yitzchak was not the greatest father. Says Rav Shamsha, Yitzchak made, I should say, Yitzchak made a mistake, father. I should say with the bad father. Yitzchak was a tzaddik and wonderful. He didn't do anything intentionally wrong. He didn't want Esav to be a Rasha. Just he, that's what Rav Shamsha father is right. You find another example. It's a famous, famous situation with David HaMelech and Bat Sheva. According to the Pasuk, the most Pasuk, Shad the Pasuk, what did he do? Eish is Eish, except for the married woman. The famous Gemara Masechet Shabbos writes, Kol Sha'omer David. It's incorrect, it's a mistake. The Gemara has a whole list of people who made mistakes, who didn't sin. The Gemara said, Ruvain didn't sleep with Bilhah. And the Gemara says, this one didn't sit over here, this one didn't. Also, David never really suffered from that. The Abarbanel, when he talks about this Gemara, he goes, yeah, the Gemara is very nice and very optimistic. But come on, you know the Pshat. The Abarbanel says it's distorting the Pshat. And the Malbim comes along and defends the Gemara against the Abarbanel, saying, do you think a person like of such stature, of such a Baal Madrega like David would sin? Could you imagine? If someone told you, one of the Rebbeim of the Kol slept with a married woman, and could you imagine if you were the Gedolei Hador? And imagine one of the Gedolei Harishonim. Could you imagine one of the Gedolei Ha'amurayim, Ha'atanoim? All the way back, we're talking David HaMelech. He did something wrong. I think the Malbim even says it's as if he, again, the Pasuk does say Chatasi Hashem. But he doesn't, in David's super high madrega, it's as if he did something so bad. But he didn't really do something so bad. He just thought about doing it. And for such a tzaddik like David, that's almost as if for the rest of us would have committed the crime. But for David, not. Again, the Abarbanel is much more open to critiquing the others. He has no problem saying David. The Malbim much less, much more similar to Rashi. The Abarbanel points out that Moshe Rabbeinu at the end of Chumash got burnt out. He was like, time to move on. Different styles you find in the Mefarshim. And even, by the way, in the Gemara, it's not so Pasha. According to the Gemara Shabbos, it says, Kol Shema David Chatei El Tov. Some Gemara say David is even better. Some Gemara say he's much worse. There's a Gemara Ksubis, I think it's on Dav Zayin, Dav Tes, I forget, that says David threw Bat Sheva to the floor and raped her against her will. That's definitely not the same approach as Kol Shema David Chatei El Tov. And therefore, my point really is that you find throughout the Chachmei HaMesorah, throughout Jewish tradition, throughout the Mekoros, people out there who are of the approach of the Ishei Tanakh don't sin, Eino El Toa, the Gemara and Shabbos. And it's not just one person, it's David, it's Reuven, it's the next person, it's like five, six people in that Gemara. Rashi often tries his best to, I don't know if it's white water, but to minimize apparent averos of the others. The Abarbanel is much more open towards critique of them. Other Chachmei and Chazal and Musar are much more open to them. And it could be this machlokas, Rashi and Ramban, which we started off with, as to whether or not Avram is to be held at any level false or not. They, again, as we pointed out earlier, deal with how much one needs bitachon versus shtadlus, or it may depend upon something brand new, which is how much, hashkafically speaking, is correct to critique the others. Again, if I call Avram a Rasha, I wouldn't be a kofor, wouldn't be happy karas, I would just be wrong and have terrible hashkafas. Right, no one believes one of these people is to believe Avram is a tzaddik. It's true, it's pashut, it's obvious. No one's questioning that in the Shia. We're Baalei Hashkafa, Kosher Hashkafa, I know we are. We're saying, but within the Chachmei HaMesorah, within our tradition, within the Mekoros, you find a little bit of tension as to how, quote unquote, frum, in terms of looking at the others, one should be. On one hand, could you imagine Avram steeping to such a level? On the other hand, people are people, and people make mistakes. And the question is, you know, again, especially with the Avram case, which is the beginning of his life, he only went up from there. It was the only improvement, got better, etc., etc. But it could be this is the machlokas Rashi and Ramban. Let's take around the question, but we'll have a few more points. Yeah. So,
I understand how Rashi can say that Avram should just rely on God. I believe there's the Gemara that says you can't rely on miracles. Do we have a rule that counts?
Ein Sam Chanal Neis. So number one, I'm not sure if Ein Sam Chanal Neis was true in times of the Avos, A. Or B, it could be when Hashem tells you go to Israel, that kind of or pushes off other rules.
So what was he supposed to do?
He was, according to Rashi? No, according to Rashi, played it right, according to their man. According to their man, should have waited there, and Hashem would have figured out some way to get him food. Hashem tells you to go to Israel. I want you to Israel. You stay in Israel. That's what you do. We're not dealing with a person like you and I who can have a tough time shipping into Israel during famine season. You with me? That's what man believes, yeah.
Didn't
Hashem
have
her husband got wars? They were also in Suvis and Tim West, maybe he wrote her again, Al Tanai, in which case, what he did was not that bad, but in other words, he probably shouldn't have sent Uri to the front lines to go die so he can, you know, have the get work for his but Aisha says she didn't do it. Again, it's a spectrum of how incriminating we were willing to make up. In other words, either Mamish onus or no, something wrong or nothing wrong at all. You know, a whole spectrum of possibilities. And again, this is the issue that we're dealing with, is how much room is there for such a topic? Another question? Okay. Yeah, no.
I wouldn't be able to structure this better because I can't think of a specific example. I guess Nevi would be a good example. I don't understand. I always have real trouble finding out, like, when the Nevi or any place that's not supposed to say something very explicitly a certain way. For example, that famous thing of why there's so many abortion usually coming to try and say, oh, nothing really bad happened here. Like, it seems to be saying.
It's an excellent question. The question can be asked in one of two ways. Number one is, what triggered the Mefarshim to whitewash the Navi? Or the more firmer way to ask would be, if they're right, why would the Navi present it in such an incriminating way?
Yeah, exactly.
In other words, if the Malvin is right, that David really didn't sleep with it, the Gemara Shabbos is right, then why did Chumash present it if he did? Why not just tell us what really happened? And if not, what triggered the Malvin to do so? Good question.
Navi speaks to them, doesn't he speak to him and say, the Navi at the time says, hey, you'll be punished for this. I mean, doesn't that imply...
Well, definitely he did something wrong. The question is, did he see what Aisha says, or did he do something much less severe, but for such a Baal Madrega, it's as if he did it. That's the standard, again, Frum, but Malvin's approach. In other words, you know, I don't want to minimize it by saying it's Frum, it's the Malvin.
How could there have been Aisha says, would you be all sitting?
That's a good question. I don't remember the answer to that, but I know that I know there's I feel bad telling you I don't remember the answer, but I mean, Asher Lebal, Asher Lebo. What do people say about that? I don't remember. I do remember having dealt with the question before. I don't remember if I had the answer or just dealt with it or what. No. Anyone who says she's usher labah, usher labah, which means the woman sleeps around willingly, she's usher to her husband as well as usher to the man she slept with.
If there's Adam or just
even without, it could be how we enforce it or you know this type of thing. But yeah. Okay. Should be a good question, I thought I'm saying. If you want, I'll try my best to think about it afterwards. If you're mad, I'll ask Fred Torsky, but he'll be able to help us out with this. He's good. He's left.
Yeah.
Well, am I going to ask? Left to think. Okay. In any event, I get a chance to invite him. I really like him. Okay. If David really didn't sleep with her, why would the Navi present it as if he did? So I think Malvin himself says, there's no way of showing you the significance and the magnitude and the power of how severe what he did was unless they exaggerate it in the Chumash. You follow? Meaning if they would have just said David thought about sleeping with Bathsheba, we'd be like, oh, it's a big deal. We probably think about sleeping with people all the time. Hopefully not, but, you know, the people out there would think about sleeping with people. You would have been like, what's a big deal? The only way that the Navi could show you the magnitude, the severity, the significance of this Avera is by representing it this way. That's the answer to the Malvin people say. I will just add one other point, which I think is important to know. Does the Navi always tell us everything literally? Does the Chumash tell us everything literally?
No.
So it's an unbelievable comment by Rav Sajagon, which is a whole topic in and of itself, but I'll mention it briefly. Rav Sajagon writes, anytime you ever read a pasuk, you should take it literally unless you can't. For example, the pasuk says that Sarah is Ein Kol Chai. You know what that literally means? I'm sorry. That Chava, rather, is Ein Kol Chai. You know what Ein Kol Chai literally means? the mother of all living things. On a literal level, she gave birth to a crocodile. She gave birth to an elephant. Painful, but true. She gave birth to, you know, people. I don't know, kol chai to myself, even though my mother apparently also did. I mean, you can follow the umbilical cord right to the mother and say, no, it's a mistake. Chava gave birth to her. So what does Rav Sadja going to say? No one thought the pasuk meant in kol chai on a literal level. If the pasuk contradicts basic logical or biological or physical or whatever it is principles, then of course you have to reinterpret the pasuk. Well, then the question becomes, let's say it contradicts things. In other words, Rav Sadja Gaon's theory is the pasuk should be taken literally unless it needs to be interpreted. But you know what's very vague? What needs to be interpreted? Someone can argue, do you think David HaMelech, such a tzaddik, would sleep with Bathsheba? Of course it has to be reinterpreted. Another person would say, what are you talking about? It doesn't have to be reinterpreted. That's fine the way it is. He did his in. After all, the Navi came to him, said to him, what are you doing? And David himself wrote a whole pasuk, a whole parak of Tehillim. You know, where he says, Leif Tahar, Brul, the Elohim, Ruach, you know what I'm saying? Like, why did David ask for Leif Tahar? There's a good chance because he needed one. In any event, so the question is, how literally do you take these things? You know what I'm saying? How could you read? What? Lo, tirtzach? Of course you can. No one's going to go that far, right? Don't kill, right? You know what I'm saying? Lo, comma, tirtzach. Period. No one reads it that way. Shema Yisrael, Shema Kino, Hashem Echad? Of course there are many gods. What? Do you think there's only one God, Hashem Echad? In other words, no one thinks you can reinterpret the puzzle. Now, so the question becomes, obviously, Shema Yisrael and Lo Tirtzach is extreme. The other extreme would be to say, reinterpret nothing. And the question is, what in between, how much room is there, so to speak, to wiggle? How much room is there, so to speak, to interpret these type of things? Derech Agav, I'll use it as another minute before I get back to my topic. You know, the Rambam writes that Eov never lived. The truth is, it comes up in the Gemara Mabash Badaf Yadal. The Gemara itself rejects it. The Rambam accepts it. The Rambam says, Eov never lived. Lohayim, Lohayim, Eov never lived. One of the things that may have triggered this to happen is the moral implications it would mean if Eov really did live. That the Satan challenges Hashem, and Hashem says, yeah, great idea, let's just kill them. Let's just have Sadek Maralo for no reason. That's it. In other words, the Rambam probably believed that there were major philosophical and moral truths that contradicted a lot of the Sefer Eov has, and therefore he had to interpret the whole Sefer as figuratively. Not my topic right now, but could one just say, well, if that's the case, Eov didn't live, maybe also Yeshayahu never lived. Could you say, you know, how far can one go? Not my topic right now. You don't want to get too far because you'll end up way too clear. You've got to be careful with these topics. But how much, the Rambam is a great example of how far one is willing to go to interpret Psukim differently in order that they should retain as long as they should be in harmony with truth, they should be able to synthesize and work with truth. And that really is all that. Rav Sadja Gaon, and then ask the question. Yeah, quickly, one, two, and I'm going to move on to the last point. Yeah?
Do you know, just on the spot, what's the main, a lot of the portion say in the instance where it's something about Reuven moving the beds?
The pasuk says, Vayishkav Reuven et Bilhah. Reuven slept with?
So Rashi tries to say,
Rashi says, no, he didn't sleep with her. What he did was he moved the bed over to her spot. In other words, there was a rotation of which of the four wives got to sleep with Yaakov, and he went out of order. He wanted his mother. He didn't want Reuven on his bed. He wanted Leah. After Rachel died, it's more appropriate that his own mother should get Leah. It's one of the primary wives, not a secondary wife. And that's, I mean, literally. Again, is Rashi whitewashing it, or is that really what happened? And just he wants you to know how bad it was for Reuven. Mm-hmm. Same type of question, same type of tension, same type of topic. Yeah.
Wouldn't it be like better sometimes if instead of whitewashing, like let's say like Lauren presented it as David thinking back, it would be much better for us as Jews. Like we say, like, oh my God, I think back to all the time, like how David took it. It's like, oh my God, I'm so sorry.
I could see that being. I hear that point. I also hear the other point. I hear both sides. I wouldn't be surprised if sometimes God specifically chose not to, you know, show the Avera in an extreme scenario, exaggerate the Avera because he wants us to realize small things, maybe like Moshe and the rock or something. I don't know. I mean, such a threat example. Yeah.
Is there a mitzvah in the birth of a
kid? In what?
In the birth of a kid, then God has a
Is there a mitzvah to, there's a machlok, is it a mitzvah to believe in God? You need to have faith in God, like emunah b'tochem, that kind of stuff?
Like what we're discussing now?
Well, we were discussing really earlier.
Like,
now,
God,
is there a mitzvah to have b'tochem in Hashem? I don't think there's a mitzvah, like a formal, one of the 613 mitzvahs, but I do think that the prop hashkafa, the derech haTorah, the right ways, is it a mitzvah? I don't think it's a specific mitzvah. Does it fall into the category of another mitzvah?
And yes, you're not that, no.
It probably falls under the, in other words, we say, for example, we say stuff like Gamzu Tov, right?
Yeah.
We say that God has a larger plan, there's a halacha, and nowadays in the bed we make a bracha called Dayan Emes when someone dies, and Mitzvah Hashem and Yimsa Mashiach when someone dies, or whatever, we'll make a bracha Tova Meitim on the good, not the bad, right? That's what the Gemara writes. You familiar with this? That one day we'll see the larger, broader picture, we'll see all of God's plans, everything will be perceived as good. That being the case, the natural ramification, the natural flow would be you should have faith because everything is the Tov. I think it's more of a correct hashkaf than there's a mitzvah, if I'm not mistaken. But it's even rooted in halacha. In other words, the hashkaf is one that could be an outgrowth of hashkaf, halacha. Yeah.
So
it's
not, so even if Avram
defined
this
hashkafa,
it's not like he did in
Avera. So the Ramban says he did in Avera, you say, you got me. Is a lack of bitachon seemingly it's an Avera. I'm not sure if one of two things I have to do. One is I have to say, you're 100% correct, lack of bitachon is somehow an avera, and part of one of the mitzvot, one has to have some level of bitachon, where one can say that Avram was such a bal madrega. You know, that it doesn't mean itself. One of the 613 mitzvot, or one of the 365 lavin in the Torah in the formal sense, but it's just not what Hashem wants, it's the wrong thing. I'm not sure which of those is correct in the Ramban. It's a fantastic question. I'm going to think about it a lot. Is there a formal iser called lack of bitachon? Or it just means that Avram did the wrong thing? By the way, I forgot to mention this earlier on. You know what the Ramban writes? The punishment is for Avram's lack of bitachon? Going down to Mitzrayim 400 years of slaves. Just like Avram went down to Mitzrayim when he should have stayed in Israel, so until we go down to Mitzrayim as a punishment for that. In any event, intense, right? It's not, in other words, especially because it's Peshkog. This is a big Avera, a big small Avera. I don't know, a big accidental Avera. It's a big Avera, but accidental. Yeah.
Two things on that.
Yeah.
First of all, children are allowed to get punished for their parents' Avera.
Great question, yeah.
And also, I thought the whole trip to Mitzrayim was a purification more than a punishment.
Could be that those two questions answer each other, that in other words, once Adam did this, now the purification is needed, and therefore not a punishment, it's a purification. It could be there sometimes it's a ramification, a natural one. It's a great question. I don't want to deal with it right now. It's not really my topic, but the answer I gave, Avraham Lachas, was good enough, although there are other answers to your question, but the one I gave was good enough just to push you aside without having to answer it properly. Very similar, although not identical, very similar is the issue of Das Torah. The same way, how do we view the others? Are they almost perfect? Or are they just super, are they angelic and superhuman, or are they just super people? Are they human beings who are super? Are they superhuman being like above human nature? Above humans, are they just people who are just tremendous tzaddik? You find the same type of things amongst Gedolei Torah nowadays. How much is one willing to, again, I'm not talking about the guy who sits at a Shabbos table and just rips into the rabbi every Shabbos lunch, no matter what he says, it's always a bad sermon. The rabbis always do from these crazy rabbis. That's not what I'm referring to. But in terms of things like Das Torah, in terms of things like Rabban making mistakes, how much could a Gedolim make mistakes? Is that possible? How open are we to this topic? Or Das Torah, for example, you find in Chassidish communities, a Chassid would go ask the Rebbe, I'm about to buy a car. Should I buy green or should I buy blue? What is the Ratzon Hashem? And the Rebbe would say, green. And the Chassid would go out and buy a green car and not a blue car. It's Das Torah. Should I become a doctor? Or should I become a lawyer? Should I move to Boston? Or should I move to Los Angeles? And the Rebbe, should I have another child or do I have enough children? And the Rebbe will answer him. This is an extreme version of Das Torah. The opposite pole would be, and you find it, by the way, Latin Chassidish world, even creeping into the Litvish world more and more. The other approach would be the poskim determine halacha. They give us, they tell us hashkafa, and they give us great guidance, they give us great advice. I think this is a Sefer Chelek's presentation. One should, of course, you want to ask your Rav a question because he's hopefully he's wise and he has a great perspective on Torah. You should find already in Nefesh, in Ruach Chaim, and Chaim Velozh with Parish on Pirkei Avos, he writes, you should go ask the Gedolim advice and you should hear what they have to say and make the best possible educated decision based upon yourself. But the question again, a lot of it boils down to how much weight and perfection is attributed to the Gedolei Torah, etc., etc. Remember, there was an unbelievable speech that the Ger Rebbe gave in the late 1930s. And the Ger Rebbe, the city of Gur, gave a speech saying the Jews should remain in Poland, no one should go to Israel, in the late 1930s. Six, eight years before the Holocaust, 4 years before the Holocaust. Everyone who remains in Poland will thrive and live and things will be wonderful. And everyone who goes to Israel will suffer absolutely terrible things because there's assimilation and it's not from Kite. And by the way, in the 1930s, Israel is not a 20th as from as it is today. It was very difficult to keep kosher. It used to be the Sephardim would come here on the boats, and the Ashkenaz and the secular Israelis would take their tefillin, cut off their pace, and take their tefillin, throw them in the water. It was really, there was a strong anti-religious feeling. People, the secular Zionists very much wanted to replace Torah with Israel. Thank God the religious Zionists developed this counterculture that you could be from a Zionist, but it was very, very difficult to begin. And the Ger Rebbe told all his chassidim, no one should go. And unfortunately, within years, under a decade, several years later, it's a famous speech. The Nazis came up and they gathered everyone together and they sent them off to the concentration camps, mostly Auschwitz. And the overwhelming majority of the Ger Chassidish community was gassed and killed in the Holocaust. And people ask, what happened to Gedolei Torah? And there's several answers that are given. One is, it doesn't exist, it never did exist. No such thing as Gedolei, no such thing as Das Torah. Rabbis have great advice, often, but sometimes they're wrong. They're good people, they're intelligent people. The Ger Rebbe made a mistake. Alternative, I think I went to this from Rav Schechter. Of course there's such a thing as Gedolei Torah, but it works most of the time. Sometimes Hashem covers their eyes. Sometimes Gedolei Torah, in other words, they make mistakes. Most of the time you should listen to what they say, but not 100% of the time. You know, they do have such a thing, not like the first book, which is no Das Torah. Here there is Das Torah. It is advisable to strongly listen to what they say, but sometimes they make mistakes. Then the third approach, the fourth one's crazy, or wrong, but the third approach is something I think I once heard the name of Rav Dessler, although I'm not 100% sure, that this was Ratzon Hashem. This is what Hashem wanted. Hashem wanted, the Ger Rebbe said it, and that's what he wanted. Hashem wanted the Jews to listen to the Ger Rebbe, stay in Poland, and all be killed. And you know what the best proof is? It happened. Those people who are gung-ho Das Torah people will argue that's exactly what the Jews should have done. A Jew should have happily been willing to die for what Hashem wanted. The Rebbe said, stay. We stay. The fourth approach, and this is one, even though the third one I don't feel that comfortable with, I don't really like it that much. I can't say it's wrong. I feel much more comfortable with the first approach, even the second. But the fourth approach I feel the least comfortable with is what they did is they, some people who wrote up the speech, they kind of cut out the parts about, you know, about what the Ger Rebbe had said. I'm talking about like they edited those parts. It's like the new Chassam Sofer. You know that? Or no? The Chassam Sofer has an unbelievably, he has a shtickle Torah where he writes. Anyway, they edited out the parts. They cut and pasted. They took out the parts they didn't like. And I think that's just absolutely terrible because, saying mainly, you want to say, in other words, it just totally distorts, you know, truth and MS and things like that. There's a situation, the Chassam Sofer has a very nice piece in Sukkah, not Lama Hey, maybe, I'm not sure, where he writes that Bizman, as he writes, he goes, what should, is Machlok, Shmuel, and Rav Shimon Bar Yochai, if a person should learn Torah all day and go out and get a job. And Chassam Sofer writes, that whole Machlok is in Chos Lamas. In Eretz Yisrael, however, everyone agrees, working the lands, planting corn, harvesting, You know, driving a bus is mentioned sometimes, but working the land of Israel is the exact same thing as learning Torah, putting on tefillin. It's all a mitzvah. There's no difference between putting on tefillin, learning a lot of Torah, and being Yishuv Eretz Yisrael. When the non-Zionists printed this Chasam Sof, and they cut out this little piece and printed the rest of it. Again, I think it's a mistake to do that. You want to disagree with Chasam Sof, or you're not throwing him. You can disagree. You don't like what he says, so maybe you don't like all the Chachmei Masorah. I think you should like all the Chachmei Masorah. Maybe you don't. Cut it out. I think it's terrible. In any event, when they did the same, not the same people, but the same type of people, did the same thing for the Ger Rebbe speech. And the kids are, you know, those are essentially the approaches to Das Torah. My personal opinion, you know, again, I'm totally aware that both shittas exist in the Chachmei Masorah. My personal style is identified more with the second group. You know, I'm not critical of the others, Chas HaShalom, they're tzaddikim, they're beautiful people and what to learn from, but I don't think they're all perfect from day one. And I think that's the, you know, a lot of the Chachmei Masorah support that. In terms of Das Torah, I think a person should speak to the Rebbe and get advice, but not follow blindly. I think if the Rebbe tells you to stay in Poland opposed to go to Israel, he may be right, but there's a good chance he's wrong, and I think the best proof was the Holocaust. If God wanted us out of there, I'd say that's why it happened, just saying. Probably would have been a smart move to leave. In any event, that's more or less what I wanted to talk about today. Questions, comments, thoughts, queries, anything else? Yeah, hey.
You could probably say that like normally they're always right, but when Hashem specifically wants them to be wrong.
That's more or less what Shaqir's saying. What Shaqir's saying is there's a Das Torah with exception. In other words, Prochem Waters is no Das Torah. I'm saying that you don't have great advice, but there's no Ruach HaKodesh, there's no, you know, et cetera, et cetera. And number two is it's a Shaqir thing, which is most of the time they're right except for the exception. Number three is they're always right under all circumstances. Number four is let's just change history to make it work however you want it to do. The reason why I said these two halves of the shiur, what about the critiquing of us, the two of critiquing the Torah, they're not exactly the same, and that's because Das Torah really has, if a person disagrees with Das Torah, it could be one of two reasons. Number one is they don't like the similarity, as we pointed out, is that how do we view great people, as perfect or as just great? The second half of Das Torah is another element to which Das Torah may take into account, which is like, A, that the Gedolim are right, and that B, Hashem himself wants us to not think and make decisions on our own, but rather just to listen to Gedolim, and therefore he feeds them all the proper information. In other words, therefore, people like even the Ramban and the Barbanel were more open to understanding sometimes others of the others might not necessarily be Das Torah people all the way through, for, you know, partially because the Gedolim narrative is less than the others, and also partially because it has other ramifications about Hashem planting thoughts in the Gedolim that maybe, you know. But I grew up in saying Maribayim without really Das Torah Bayim, you know, they're frum and sincere and dedicated, wonderful tzaddikim. Half of them run the cola, you know, but less than that, not Das Torah people. Yeah, hey, shoot.
Where does that mean that there's no Das Torah?
What?
What does that mean that there's no Das Torah? It means that Chachamim suggest what you should do, and then you...
Halachically, you follow everything. They determine halacha. They also determine proper hashkafa. But in terms of practical, lemaisa things, what shirt you should wear, or even what career you should choose, I think... My personal thoughts is, no Das Torah people are different than what I say, is that when it comes to how you should dress, what career you should take, you should do your best to figure out the ideas and the ideology, the values, the midos of the Torah, and then you should make your decision on your own after being advised by Gedolei Torah.
On
Hashkafa. On life situation. On halacha, you don't make your own choice. Speak to the post.
I'm saying that the Chacham should tell you.
The Chacham tell you what is the halacha and what are the hashkafas. Sometimes the machlokas in halacha, the machlokas hashkafas. Sometimes hashkafas different values, in there, you know. But in terms of choosing your own life, you should, in other words, you should take into account the fact that if you become a businessman, you may be subject to cheating and stealing. That's against halacha. Take that into account. If you become a doctor, you can help save lives. That's saving lives. It's a Jewish value. It's a proper hashkafa. If you can be an honest businessman, you can make cash in Shemayim, you should take that into account. If you you work well with, you have great public speaking skills, so you should, Hashkafa would probably tell you, Jewish will tell you, use those skills to make a positive impact on the world, do something good. You know, if you think you should make a lot of money, then give tzedakah, but tzedakah is a very Jewish, there's no halacha you have to make a lot of money to give tzedakah, but a Jewish Hashkafa would be. Why not make more? Because you can give more tzedakah, assuming that is your motives and not just because you want to show everyone from the black that you have a bigger house. But in other words, you know, these things, there are all sorts of hashkafas in the Torah that the Chachamim Masorah say. Those, I'm not saying you should choose your own. Those come from the Masorah. For sure, halacha comes from the Gedolim. And even in hashkafa, although more debated, I also think that comes from the Gedolim. The application of it towards not halachic issues in your life, that I think is your own. You should use advice they give, hashkafas that you find in Pirkei Avos and in Agadah to Gemara, and in Chachamim Masorah, and Sifrei Machshava, and you know, Sifrei Musar. You shouldn't just make up your own hashkafa. There's a whole beautiful tradition of where hashkafa is telling you to go. But in terms of lamaisa, should you spend your summer in Enzi's wine call, or should you do something else? That is your own call based upon the ideology of the Torah. Hopefully. And who you want to take on that issue. You follow that?
Yep.
Okay. All right, I guess from that for a few more seconds, then we'll go down there. Let's go. So.
Don't forget.